When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A warm welcome to a landmark episode. We are on episode 30 of Powered4.tv Big Fight Weekly. We take you around the world of combat sports with all the latest news, previews, reviews of fights. And Chris, how are you doing today, my friend, my co-host Chris Yu?
Not bad, you mate. You know, just having a few beers and enjoying being a part of our milestone episode of 30.
Absolutely. We've got a lot to get through this week. We've got UFC 266, which is a huge card, Chris. I know you're excited to cover that today. We've also got Joshua and Usyk this Saturday evening on Sky Sports, the last Matchroom show on the Sky Sports contract. What a huge night that's going to be. But we will take it to UFC Fight Night first. And it was Anthony Smith back in action against Ryan Spann, a big light heavyweight bout, which ended with an emphatic submission in the first round from Anthony Smith. It's what you predicted, Chris, as well. You said it'd go like that.
You know what? I saw it like a mile off. Spann's always, always been good with his striking and his power. I found in this fight, though, when Spann hit Smith with his striking, Smith didn't struggle with it whatsoever. I don't know if you've seen the fight itself.
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
I felt like Smith took the power punches from Spann, and when he hit him with a left hook, or he hit him with an overhanded left, because obviously we know that Smith hits with the left hand better than the right. Spann struggled with that. It didn't like the power of Anthony Smith. Anthony Smith is, he's got better with his striking, a lot better with his striking. Really impressed with Anthony Smith. You know, the last couple of fights, he's shown his striking has evolved, and it's a good side, because we all know that Anthony Smith, he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's very good on the ground, which we did see this in this fight later on, in the first round. I predicted a second round submission, so I was a round off, but I just thought he came in straight away, went for it, knew exactly what he wanted to do. I think Spann was a bit I think he struggled with the pressure with Smith, because Smith was coming straight forward at him and he was hitting him with those left hooks. They did wild overhand rights at each other. There was calf kicks as well from Smith, which is good to see. Which, again, though, I'm always cautious with those, because we've seen enough leg breaks with calf kicks recently. And you do worry about those kicks. As much as they are effective and, they do cause damage, they can also, the repercussion backwards to the fighter throwing them, as you've seen in the last, 6 months, they can cause a leg break or two. But I just thought Smith was really, really good. He was on it from the start. He wanted to finish. He wanted to make a statement. He definitely made a statement in this fight. Like I said, he wobbled and dropped Spann, in the space of, 2 minutes of the fight starting? Span didn't know what to do. I think Span struggled, you know, a lot in that first round. I think his head obviously was all over the place being dropped, but I think he just was struggling then with, well, I didn't realise Smith had this much power, because obviously, you know, Smith's good at striking per se, but he's gotten better, he's evolved. But, you know, he tried to set up that rear naked, tried to get into an armbar, didn't he? Span got out of it. Then he caught Span again and dropped him. Obviously, and I liked how Smith was doing. He wasn't jumping into a submission where he took the back eventually late in the first round, but he was trying to find his spot. He got his spot, got his rear naked choke, you know, and a fantastic win for Anthony Smith. But the only issue is a light heavyweight division. There's technically only two fighters above him now that haven't got a dance partner, which is Rakic and Prochazka. I think I say his name right. Yuri Prochazka. But I think Prochazka is going to be a stand-in for the Glover Teixeira and Jan Błachowicz fight. So obviously he might get that. Or there's Rakic. And Rakic has looked good. You know, Rakic had a good win, a solid win in this last bout.
I would say feasibly, you know, you're looking at a Reyes or a Rakic. I don't think he should be looking past or higher than that at the moment. But as you say, it's if they're not already in fights, it's matchmaking and giving him enough time and the other fighter enough time, isn't it?
I don't think Dominic Reyes though, Stuart. He's lost three on the bounce, my friend.
He's still ranked higher than him though, isn't he? I know Anthony Smith has got the momentum now, because that's mm-hmm. two wins on the bounce now. He's back from, because he had a bit of a skid.
He did.
Yeah. I suppose he calls the shots then, you know, in that sense with Reyes.
Well, which fight would you prefer out the two that are remaining three at the moment that are above him? It's Rakic, who fought Thiago Santos, didn't he? And do you know, easily sounded out Thiago Santos. Santos hasn't looked that great since fighting John Jones, but then Anthony Smith didn't look that good. Dominic Reyes hasn't looked that good after facing John Jones. Must be some sort of curse.
You've got to put that by the by. As soon as you say John Jones, I mean, they've all got in there with him. You know, John Jones is John Jones, isn't he? It's just, as you've said, you know, he's Hall of Fame. He's definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's
100%. 100%.
But yeah, what about Rakic? Like, maybe, you know, if you're thinking Reyes has had too many losses, I would say Rakic, which would be a good test for both fighters.
I think so, 100%, mate, if I'm honest. Yuri Prochazka would be a really tough fight for him. You know, I think Yuri's looked really good and phenomenal in the two fights he's had in UFC, and devastating. And he showed, you know, a different sort of array of striking and the set skills. He also can fight on the ground as well, which Anthony Smith is very good at himself. Yeah. We haven't seen Rakic on the ground. We've seen Rakic striking, and it's really, really good. So, yeah, maybe one of them two could be next for Anthony Smith.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I knew Chris would encompass that well. What's next for Anthony Smith going forward? Two wins on the bounce now, Chris. After he'd had a bit of a tough time, hadn't he, you know, prior to that. And, yeah, I think it's time to get on to UFC 266, the huge card headlined by Volkanovski and Ortega at featherweight. And we have got some footage from Dan Hardy's breakdown show. So, yeah, this footage is courtesy of Dan Hardy and the BT Sport team for the breakdown show. If you want to fire at the VT firstly, Chris, for the viewers 100%. To watch.
We'll do.
See what this is where MMA math comes into play, and this is where the conversations I've had, people have said, well, you know, Volkanovski's beat Max Holloway, and Max Holloway was able to beat Brian Ortega, so therefore it doesn't necessarily work like that. I understand it because, you know, Max Holloway beat Ortega with pace. Volkanovski beat Max Holloway with pace. So, you know, you kind of think, well, Volkanovski's going to come in and he's going to outpace Brian Ortega. It's not as simple as that, of course, but that is the main asset that Volkanovski brings to the table. He's erratic. He's conditioned. You know, he used to be a much bigger individual, over 200 pounds, and he's brought his weight down to, you know, to suit his frame. And he's a scary individual. He's strong. He's powerful. Brian Ortega is very slick. That's the thing that comes to mind when I think of Brian Ortega. Like, that's the danger for Volkanovski. That's what he's got to watch out for, is that slickness of Brian Ortega, because there are lots of different ways it can be the undoing of Volkanovski. If he's not careful, Brian Ortega will find ways to unpick his game. Now, as far as records go, Volkanovski's got slightly more experience. It's 22-1 for Volkanovski, 15-1 for Brian Ortega with one no contest. The one loss on Volkanovski's record was a long time ago. I believe it was a welterweight as well. So, you know, he's been on such a win streak recently, we can kind of write that off. The loss on Brian Ortega's record, of course, was his title attempt against Max Holloway. No shame in that loss, and so much has been gained from it, in my opinion, as we saw in the zombie fight, which I will talk about in a moment. But if we first focus on Volkanovski, if you try and imagine what the essence of this individual is as a fighter, it is that he is going to cook you until you give up. He's going to put a pace on you. He's going to beat you up. He's going to attack every target on the body. Whichever one becomes vulnerable, he's going to keep taking bites out of it.
Well, Stuart, Dan Hardy, I'm going to say this now, is one of the best analysts on the planet when it comes to mixed martial arts. So it's good to see you know, what he says and what he thinks about the fight. I wouldn't say Volkanovski's erratic. I think Volkanovski's quite measured. Volkanovski's fast as well. Like, we've spoke about this off camera. In his last fight against Max Holloway, you know, he turned it up a gear after getting dropped a couple of times from Max Holloway, and was, you know, quicker to the punch than Max Holloway, which is outstanding to put, considering the output Max Holloway gave Calvin Kattar, you know, was it beginning of the year? And he outpunched Max Holloway in their second fight.
Which is no mean feat. Because Holloway's striking was as good as anyone's across the promotion, wasn't it?
100%.
And as you say, sorry, I cut in, but no, you know, that he made him look ordinary, didn't he? He did make Holloway look ordinary in that fight. I felt. I don't know how you felt.
No, 100%, 100%. Yeah. When you're fighting Max Holloway, and we spoke about this off camera, you're fighting fight with fire, aren't you, really? Because Max Holloway is fantastic on the feet. He's not bad on the ground also, you know, but his striking has gone up another level. He hasn't fought Max Holloway since that, and Max Holloway looked fantastic against Calvin Kattar. But you're facing someone like Ortega, who's, as he said, he is slick, but he's slick on his BJJ, and he's slick with those uppercuts, is Ortega, which you saw against Frankie Edgar when he caught him with that fantastic uppercut on, you know, on his way to fighting Max Holloway. He was very good against Korean Zombie. Korean Zombie, I think, he took a couple of elbows in I think, the first or second round, and sort of gave up. Ortega sort of ran with the fight then. Volkanovski's not going to do that. I'm not being funny, but Volkanovski is too smart. He's too technical. He's going to chop at those legs. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be an out wide kick, an inside kick, a calf kick. He's going to really put a lot on Ortega. And Ortega's face as well, though, does swell up a lot as well. I'm not just saying this because what Max Holloway does to him, but, you know, you can see when he gets caught flush, he does struggle with that. And I think Volkanovski is a much better striker than Ortega. Ortega's, you know, he's got that boxing background. Mm. He's got that boxing background, so he can pick his punches. But Volkanovski, as you've seen in the VT, has a better reach. I didn't know he had a better reach. I know it's
Which is mad because of the height of him. He's 5'6". He's a tank. The fact he was 200 pounds when he was playing rugby, and then he cut down, as Dan Hardy alluded to, his only losses at welterweight at 170, and now he's right down to 145. But he's short enough, I guess, isn't he? And you know, considering he's cut all that weight to get down to where he is now, it's incredible, isn't it?
He's, as I said to you, he's the next flow of elite fighters. I think Volkanovski's got it all. You know what I mean? He can grapple, but he's very good at standing up. I don't think he's going to grapple with Ortega in this fight, because there's one thing I'll say, being a BJJ enthusiast like myself, is, and Ortega's like up there when it comes to BJJ. You're not going to go and play in the ground.
You're in quicksand, surely, then. Yeah. You know, but could Ortega get him down, though? Because, as you say, from a striking standpoint, he's probably going to better him there, isn't he? But, yeah. Could you see Ortega getting him down, or is it going to be quite hard for him to do so, Chris?
I think it's harder because I think with Ortega, he's going to have to set up the situation to not be so, what's the word I'm looking for? Making it obvious. So if he's going to strike, he'd do what wrestlers do, like wrestlers per se now, is they set you up. So they let you come at them and then you throw a few punches or kicks, and then they grab one and take you down with a double leg or a single leg. He's going to have to be like that, be smart about it and not be so like obvious, like, oh, I'm going to take him down. I'm going to try and take you down now. He's going to be very smart. with the sort of the BJJ side taking them down, like I said. But the only good thing I think is when we talk about Ortega's uppercuts, Volkanovski is going to have to get on the inside, obviously, because Ortega being the bigger man. Obviously, Volkanovski is very good at getting the inside, still against Max Holloway. But obviously, we've seen Ortega with the uppercuts. And we've seen what, you know, Frankie Edgar, known for his fantastic wrestling, and he has for over the years. And, you know, I love Frankie Edgar, one of their best ever. And he's fought the best.
Flag bearer for UFC, no question, in the amount of years. But, you know, it's age, isn't it, there? You know, it's the age factor, isn't it?
But he's fought the who's who, though. He's never dogged the fighters.
Absolutely. On his shield, that man, no question.
But he caught Frankie Edgar coming on the inside with that uppercut. And you mean, it's all over Facebook. You can see the uppercut that Ortega gives Frankie Edgar. And Frankie Edgar, you know, flies pretty much, you know, onto the floor. If you can catch Volkanovski with that, yeah, he's got a hell of a good chance, because if he can drop him and not finish him, but get him on the ground and stick him to the ground, then Ortega's got an opportunity to win the fight. I just think Volkanovski is going to be too fast for Ortega, and he's going to place shots where he needs to place them. He's going to place the leg kicks where he needs to place them, and he's just going to bully Ortega. And I think I've got Volkanovski round five, and I think he's going to finish it by TKO in this fight.
So you've got it going quite far in terms of rounds there, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't think Ortega can take fights. Look against Max Holloway, he took a lot of damage.
Yeah.
I don't think he will, but I think just the pace that Volkanovski can push, if he pushes higher than Max Holloway, and what Max Holloway did to Ortega, I know that Dan Hoddy said that, you know, you can't do A and B versus A and C sort of thing, but I just think Volkanovski showed enough of that sort of strikeout put against Max Holloway that he can do it to Ortega.
Of course, this is going quite a bit ahead now, thinking about this. Right, Volkanovski makes plenty of defences, say another two or three after this. If he gets past Ortega, let's not write Ortega off. I know Volkanovski's favourite. Mm-hmm. Could he then go up to 155? I know he's fought at 170. He's shorter. I get that. Could he make a dent at 155? I know how much you rate the 155 division. It's one of the, you know, one of the strongest top to bottom. Could Volkanovski go up to lightweight and do something in there? Or do you think it's going to be more for natural guys in the division and they'd have their way with him? Maybe as it pertains to like the top three or four guys, five guys.
I think he'd struggle with the likes of Dustin Poirier, because I think Dustin Poirier he's got, you know, a very good takedown defense, and he's very good at the striking. And I think he's better at Volkanovski at that, but I think Volkanovski still has the speed. You know, you saw Max Holloway go against Dustin Poirier for the interim before, obviously, Poirier fought Khabib, and Khabib had his way with Max Holloway. And we're talking about Max Holloway, he's one of the best strikers in the UFC. And Dustin Poirier, you know, bested him at most of that. He could have a good shot, but I can't see him winning the title. I think when you're going up to 155, you still have very good wrestlers. You have very good strikers. Actually, 155, there's very mixed all-round sort of skill sets between, you know, the Michael Chandlers, the Justin Gaethjes, who also will be fighting in a couple of months' time, and I can't wait for that fight. But you have, you know, Charles Oliveira, who's learning to strike, and you saw it against Michael Chandler, is working out that sort of side of things, but he's deadly on the ground. He could get up there, right? You know what I mean? The thing is, if he clears his path at 145 and say, I don't know, because you've got Charles Oliveira, Dustin Poirier at the end of the year, you don't know who's going to come out the champion there. I think a lot of people would probably sway towards Dustin Poirier. But just say, just for argument's sake, Dustin Poirier clears the division, and Volkanovski does the same. You could match them together because they've cleared their divisions as a super fight. I think just Dustin Poirier and people at 155, just that bit higher than Volkanovski in that sort of sense. But, you know, there's fights to be made for him at 145.
Absolutely. I look forward to the main event. You know, if anything, it's going to be explosive. It's and UFC again making the fights, Chris. You know, boxing could learn a lot from it. I know we've had issues with contracts and stuff within the boxing, but at least, you know, you're in the UFC house, you're in amongst that, and they can make these fights. Boxing could learn a lot of things about getting deals done, but I know you've obviously got different boxing boards. So it's just great to see, going back to this main event, it's good to see that it's finally happening. Obviously, COVID struck, didn't it, as well? It would have been a lot sooner It was all set.
We were ready for it, Henry.
You know, but yeah. can't wait. I'm very much looking forward to it. I know you are too. Moving on, Chris, to the ladies at flyweight. Valentina Shevchenko taking on former Invicta FC bantamweight champion Lauren Murphy. Chris, this fight's only going one way. No disrespect to Lauren Murphy. You know, she's got to take on. She's obviously mandatory to Shevchenko. Mm-hmm. I can't see this going any other way. Valentina's fantastic. You know, herself and Amanda Nunes, you know, fantastic flag bearers for the women's division in the UFC. What do you feel? And where do you see this fight getting finished? What round? I'll go with that. I know you like to predict. I know you like prediction.
It's a mismatch, though. Let's get first and foremost. It's a mismatch. I thought Joanne Calder would beat Laura Murphy in the contender fight. Yeah, I thought Laura Murphy lost to Joanne Calder, but she went by split decision. But it's one of them when you leave it in the hand of judges, as Dana White says, and you see it in boxing.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they don't always get it right.
We all look at a fight differently, even the judges. Yeah. You know, yeah, exactly. That's been Dana White's mantra for so many years, Chris. Do not leave it in.
No, and he's right, though, because there's been how many bad decisions. But going to the fight, though, listen, yeah. Valentina Shevchenko is a black belt in jiu-jitsu because she's done so much. She's Muay Thai, I'd say, definitely in the black belt range, right? She is a goat. But the thing is, flyweight division is like where Ronda Rousey was when she first came in and did bantamweight. And there was nobody else that was at her level. Shevchenko and Amanda Nunes are at that level where there literally isn't anyone to contest. They have fought twice, and it was razor close, both fights. Yes, I think we both want to see a third fight. It'd be great. We want to.
Oh, of course, yeah. It will make money. You know, yeah. that'll be. You know, not many of the women's fight draw on a level, do they? But if you put them two together again, as you say, yeah. Going forward, there's got to be a third. Has to be.
Shevchenko, I've got like, you know, Shevchenko is too good for this division. There's nobody in the flyweight division, in the ladies' flyweight division, that can contest Valentina Shevchenko, right? There's nobody. She's that good. She's in a division where I think it's easy for her. She's probably happy. You know what I mean? She is too good for a division. She gets paid a good bit of money and she gets to beat women up. What more can you complain about, you know?
Absolutely.
For me in this fight, I'm not going to give you too much for this fight because I think we all know Shevchenko wins this. I think she wins this by TKO in the first round. I think she's just going to do what she does best. I think it could either be on the ground or it could be standing up because she's done it to so many different people. But yeah, Valentina Shevchenko first round, TKO. Or it could even be a KO, actually. You're good, mate.
And you're on a run as well because you've got Anthony Smith right and you got the finish right as well. So I think, Chris, you know, this could be two in a row that you've got. And then if Volkanovski wins, I'll give you three in a row. And then as we move on...
Oh, wait, hold on. Before we jump onto the big one.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to throw some comments out because we've had a few.
Good thinking, Chris. Don't want the guys, the viewers missing out on the, you know, what they've said. Here we are. It's Isaac Heffernan all the way from Norwich. On the East Coast in England. Afternoon, lad. Let's go. Yeah. Tyler T, who is Isaac. Albert Barlow from Chicago. Chris's Art of Partying friend as well. Me and Mel are here celebrating my grandmother's birthday.
What are you doing, Albert, mate?
Happy birthday, Grandma. Grandma Barlow, I'm assuming.
Grandma Barlow.
All the best. Chilly Willie, former ECW alumni. He's been on the show. We'll have to get you back on as well, Chilly. What's good, fellas? Yeah. All good. He's out in the Philippines. He lives out there now. He's from Carolina originally. And Ramel, another guy who's been on the show with us, and he's done some watch-alongs with Chris. Sup, guys? Thank you very much, Ramel. Two guys from the Philippines in Asia. They're fantastic. And what would the show be
without
Brett Thomas? We missed you last week. We know you had it on in the earphones, and we got to you in the end. Hi, everyone. All the best, Brett. Thank you for all your support. I'm hoping to meet John Scott today at the O2. Yeah, WWE are touring across the UK. So, yeah, I'm sure you'll see John Scott and Jess as well there. Steve Monkman, afternoon, gents. Dan Hardy is go on match build.
100%. Yeah,
whatever went on with the UFC and him losing that role, at least he's got it with BT Sport as well. Justin Clapper.
How are you doing, Justin?
JCP Pro Wrestling Show coming soon as well. Looking forward to that. Our buddy from Wrestling Travel. He's been a great supporter of the show. Brett Thomas, have you seen Tito Ortiz has called out Logan Paul? Ortiz, no offence, but he won't beat Logan or even make the cash. Got to agree with you there, Brett.
I spoke to you. I brought this up last week that he disagreed with the knockout loss against Anderson Silva. Not sure how you can contest a knockout loss, but hey ho. This is Tito. I do agree with Brett. Tito doesn't warrant any sort of boxing fight. No.
Dana White was as complimentary as ever about Ortiz's striking. So you and Dana are always on the same page where it pertains to Ortiz.
With his hands.
Dana, I was howling when Dana did the press conference after the Contender Series. I watched that the other day. Yeah, quite funny.
They don't get on.
Do they? They've never got on. But Tito did make Dana money.
But yeah, they've asked. But they were supposed to have a boxing fight, if you remember, back in the day.
That could happen. I'd like to see Dana get back in there boxing. Lewis Young.
How you doing, Lewis, mate?
All the way from Falkirk in Scotland. Regular viewer every week. Love you, Lewis. Top lad. Top lad you are, mate. We appreciate you every week. Rachel Cornell. Nice to see you, Rachel. Did you see Gary Neville latest overlap with Tyson? After watching both AJ and Tyson, I like Tyson more now. He's just himself. AJ was very businesslike, and now I believe it's AJ that doesn't want it.
Go on then, Stu.
It poses the question, but I think it will get made
next year, hopefully, as we
saw with Fury. He's mapped out where he's going the next four or five fights, and then he's going to have 2 years off, go off the rails again, come back at 37 and reign supreme again with the weathers around. So yeah, I think that fight will happen, you know, bit delayed, and hopefully we'll get to see it next year. The first one in Saudi, then the second one in London. Dan Terra Sporting. Heard Walter wants to do MMA. Thought he's a very stiff wrestler. I think he's fantastic in the pro wrestling sense. I would go regional if he was going to go into MMA. Chris will tell you that. You know, I think that'd be the only way he's getting in, you know, getting into MMA.
Does he have a background? Is he a collegiate wrestler?
People know more than that on me. He's from Austria. I assume he did some form of it, maybe, but don't quote me on that. I'm sure someone will be able to tell us.
Dan Terra Sporting, if you know some information about what he does, throw it in the comments, mate.
In a regional aspect, why not? I just don't think you couldn't go in the top end promotions, because you'll tell us now, Chris. You know, it doesn't end well when they've gone up. Yeah. You know, people have tried it, as we know. But yeah, sorry.
No, dude. Do it easily. Ease yourself in and then get noticed and then get into the bigger shows.
Absolutely.
But, so we jump into the big one this weekend, doesn't it?
After 17 years has passed since the first fight, an historic fight, Chris. There's been so much of it, you know, the fight in highlight packages over the years. You know, it was a flag bearer, wasn't it, for the UFC when they used to show just two guys going at it. And finally, we've got the second fight. Now, Nick Diaz has been away for quite some time, Chris. Last fight in 2015. Mm-hmm. Robbie Lawler's been active. I'm just trying to think when he last had a fight.
Neil Magny.
How long ago was that now, Chris?
It's about 6 or 7 months ago.
Right. So it begs the question, doesn't it, Chris? Does Nick Diaz get his way with him again? Or due to the length of time outside the cage, does it favour Robbie Lawler? Because he obviously stayed active. How do you feel?
I find it hard, right? Because I'm obviously prepping for today. Volkanovski, Ortega, I can do easily. Shevchenko versus Murphy, easy. You know, Joshua, Usyk, you've got an idea, haven't you? Nick Diaz hasn't fought in the UFC for 6 years. You know, January the 20th? I think it was the day after my birthday or a few days before it. 2015, he fought Anderson Silva. They both popped. Anderson Silva popped for steroids. Nick Diaz popped for marijuana, weed, as we call it over here, which is stupid.
You get away with marijuana.
Now.
Is that in all the states? Or would it be like certain, you're fine with states. Yeah, I remember. So, I think he should have got a pass, shouldn't he? But obviously, it wasn't in place at the time. Sorry, I'm going on but about that now.
You give him a lifetime ban. Obviously, they got it down.
Yeah.
I don't know if people watching us watch a lot of Nick Diaz and what he does, but you see a lot of Instagram. He just party. You see him on TMZ, he's partying and doing his thing. And you know, he's enjoyed himself. I talk about to you off camera about that interview we did with Errol Hawani a few years ago, and it wasn't just me, but I couldn't understand a single thing that was coming out of his mouth. I was struggling. I don't think, I mean, it wasn't just me, but I don't know what he was on that day, but it was really slurring and it was hard to make out. I think it was just after Nate lost to Masvidal. And they're both sitting down, like me and you, but obviously to get in the same room. I just couldn't understand him. Now watching the countdown today, after prepping for it, you can understand Nick Diaz perfectly. You know what I mean? He looks in fantastic shape. Yeah, okay, he's been out for 6 years, but the guy is an athlete, isn't he? You know, he does triathlons. He trains people in Stockton with Cesar Gracie. And Cesar Gracie's, an elite level jiu-jitsu trainer. Fantastic. You know, he has Nick Diaz as one of his trainers as well. But Nick Diaz looks fantastically, but just an absolutely brilliant shape. Robbie Lawler, again, he's on a 4-fight losing streak. I think this could be Robbie Lawler's last fight, if I'm completely honest with you. Win, lose, or draw. I think this will be Robbie Lawler's last one. I'm really on the fence with this one because you can't go off the fight that they fought 17 years ago. You can't. Because it was completely different and they've been through a lot of different things. You know, Nick Diaz won the Strikeforce title. Robbie Lawler came back after UFC, took Strikeforce and, you know, went on a hell of a good run at welterweight, won the title, had two fantastic fights against Rory McDonald and one of his names come out of my head now. He'll come back, I think, at some point.
Did take on Hendricks? Hendricks?
Yeah, that was okay, but Carlos Condit versus Robbie Lawler for the title. Mm-hmm. That was really, really good fight. Obviously, Carlos Condit's just announced he's retired from MMA as well. Props to Carlos Condit because he's fought Nick Diaz as well.
With Condit, I think, you know, because he's fought more recently in more recent months, I think he still had something to offer, but obviously he's probably made a lot. He's probably made a lot of money. He's not that old. He's been around a long, long time. So I'm a bit surprised by that, Chris, but he's obviously thought and looked through who he's fought. And
if he can train, he can still train people. You know what I mean? Yeah. Condit was technically standing up was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. You know what I mean? He fought Nick Diaz. He took, you know, GSP on for the title and he dropped GSP. You know what I mean? Not many people get to drop GSP. Didn't finish it because GSP and the know-how and the experience of GSP were in the fight. And, you know, GSP is always known for what he does. He takes people down and he beats them up and he did really well in that. You know, Lawler in this fight, it could come down to, does Diaz still have a chin? Because we know Lawler can bang. Mm-hmm. But in the last couple of fights, Lawler's very tentative and he's been caught and he's shelled up on the floor and he's been beaten that way, which is really horrible to see Robbie Lawler go that way. It's so hard to see because it's going to be like, can Nick Diaz get the pressure? Because we all know Nick Diaz and Nate Diaz are very good at their boxing and the combinations and the pressure. They get you up against the fence and they unload. But it's not to the head, it's to the body and they move up and down with the combinations. If he can get that off, I think he can beat Robbie Lawler. But if Robbie Lawler can catch Nick Diaz, not knowing again what sort of chin Nick Diaz is after 6 years out, he could finish Nick Diaz. It could go either way. So
it's perfectly poised. I think you've got a roll to Michael Bisping. And the footage is courtesy of Bisping Previews. We want to cover ourselves when we're showing clips. So yeah, just if you want to roll to it, if I'm jumping in a bit too quick.
No. I'll take this banner off so people can see Michael Bisping enter Big Fight Weekly for the second straight week.
You think that is a correct narrative, right? Robbie has been fighting and Nick hasn't been fighting. But I think for those very reasons, that's probably why you're going to see Nick Diaz probably be the favourite of the bookies and more than likely get the win. Why is that? Well, it's miles on the clock, right? Robbie Lawler's got a lot of miles on the clock. He's got a lot of damage to the bodywork, you know what I mean? Whereas Nick Diaz, you know, he's only been fighting the best, but for 6 years, he has been doing anything but fighting. And when I say anything but fighting, if you see the man, you look at him on paper, you look at him on Instagram or whatever, he's in tremendous shape. You know, he's coming back at 170, his natural weight class, and he looks fantastic, okay? As we know, he's a triathlete. I don't know how many triathletes he's been doing, but I did see him semi-recently on Instagram with his brother. So, you know, the man keeps in shape. He's a natural athlete, you know, and when it comes to fighting, him and his brother are two of the most natural fighters that you'll see on the planet. Now, the first fight went down 17 years ago. And, you know, Robbie Lawler, Nick Diaz, they both like to bang. And that's what we saw. And it was a clean knockout for Nick Diaz. Coming back into this one, I don't think we're really going to see much of a different approach. We know Robbie Lawler's a great wrestler. Is he going to wrestle Nick Diaz? Is he going to want to take him down? Diaz has got fantastic jiu-jitsu. Probably not a safe place to be. You know, so for Robbie Lawler, he's got power in his hands. Nick Diaz has got power in his hands. So I think this fight's going to play out on the feet. I'm not going to give a prediction just yet because we've still got a little bit of time to go.
Well, he's left that open-ended as Mr. Bisping, but as per usual, well articulated from the fighter's, you know, standpoint and point of view. And I respect Bisping for the most part when he talks about these fights.
He's honest. Yeah. He's honest. Very honest of what he he puts out. And you know, we respect Michael Bisping. Mm. He's fantastic on the commentary as well. So I'm glad he's got a new 5-year contract with UFC. He is right though. You know what he says, and I obviously alluded to this. You know, Nick Diaz does look in good shape. You know, but Robbie Lawler has been fighting, and yes, he has had miles on the clock. But so is Nick Diaz in a way, though, because Nick Diaz, they both, you know, been fighting for a very long time. Yes, minus the 6 years, you know, Nick Diaz has fought the best. You look at the last three opponents of Nick Diaz. You've got George St. Pierre, Carlos Condit, BJ Penn, and these are all guys in their prime when he fought them. He doesn't back down from people when he takes fights, just like Nate does. It's just good to see him back. I wish he came back a bit earlier. So it's devastating in a way to see him come back so older when he had the, you know, he wasn't suspended for 6 years, but he took that, you know, sat on the shelf for 6 years instead. You know, I'd like to see him a bit more, but, you know, it's good to see Nick Diaz back. And like maybe if he beats Robbie Lawler on the weekend, could we get a Nick Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal? Seeing as he's back at 170.
Why not? It makes perfect sense. Two bangers, two strikers going at it. So, Chris, I think I can sense from the way you're rounding that up. I think you think Nick Diaz is gonna do it.
I don't know.
You're like Bisping. I'll leave it a couple of days. I'll let you watch some press stuff because we're a bit early yet, aren't we? As you say.
Yeah, we're 5 days out from the actual fight. Listen, if you're gonna press me, heart would say Nick Diaz because I love the Diaz brothers, but head would say Robbie Lawler, even though he's on a 4-fight losing streak. Mm-hmm. Robbie Lawler's still been in there, and Robbie Lawler has fought the best. You know what I mean? He hasn't fought any bums. He's been in there with Kobe Covington. He's been in there with, you know, Neil Magny, who's been on the rise. Okay, he did lose his last fight, but he's been on the rise. You know what I mean? Like Tyron Woodley, and I know Tyron Woodley, you know, he's moved on now, but they didn't, you know, they're losing to the top end elite fighters. And don't forget, you look at the gym that Robbie Lawler's in. Vicente Luque's there. Do you know what I mean? Who up and coming at 170. Mm-hmm. He's got Michael Chandler in there. Derek Brunson fights at Samford, where, you know, Robbie Lawler trains at. So he's got a lot of good training partners who are still absolutely at the top of their game. Interesting fight. I look forward to it.
Perfectly, perfectly poised. And, you know, it's going to bring in people maybe who haven't watched the UFC for a long, long time, but can remember it years ago. That's a big pull. I know the card's stacked. I get that. But this one could be the one that a lot of people want to tune into the most, even though you've got the two title fights, Chris.
Well, I think this could steal the show.
Name value. It's name value in it and what they've done.
100%. You know, Robbie Lawler, former champion, Nick Diaz, former champion. And they both fought, you know, each other 17 years ago. Nick Diaz got the win in that fight. Could it go the same or could it be different? You just don't know that. And that's what's intriguing to see where this fight goes. But I'm looking forward to it, mate.
What about the huge heavyweight clash? Two top-end heavyweights in the rankings. It's Curtis Blaydes versus Jairzinho Rozenstruik, Chris. Another absolute stellar bout in the making here. As you can see, the records in front of us there, 14-3 Curtis Blaydes to 12-2 Jairzinho Rozenstruik. Chris, a huge fight for both of these guys.
Well, yeah, you know, I wouldn't say title implications not just yet, because there's a lot of pushback, isn't there, because obviously we've got Gone and Ngannou to fight, and I'm not sure that fight's announced yet, but I think that's going into January when they fight. Obviously, we've got Miocic coming back. Miocic is putting the weight back on. Got John Jones to enter the fray. And I think between those four fighters, or maybe three of them, four of them, yeah, I'll go with four of them, it's going to hold that division up. But if we go in regards to the fight, I've got Derek Brunson. I've got Curtis Blaydes, winning this fight. I just think he looked really good to a part against Derek Lewis until Derek Lewis chinned him and put him out of the fight, which, you know, Derek Lewis has got that power. But Curtis Blaydes looked really good in that fight before he got caught by Derek Lewis. So you look at the game plan maybe for Curtis Blaydes, it's to set traps for Rosenstrike. You know, come at him, strike at him, but force him against the fence, pull him down and beat him up on the ground. Mm-hmm. I completely see that. And the Curtis Blaydes has been, you know, very notorious for doing that. He uses the striking standing up. He confuses you, then he takes you down and then beats you up on the ground. Rosenstrike, you know, again, like Derek Lewis, has that one punch knockout power. But he's also obviously got leg kicks, but I don't think he's going to want to use leg kicks against a wrestler who can obviously work, you know, catch that leg, take you down in a double leg or a single leg. He's going to have to be very strategic is using his striking against Curtis Blaydes, as using it in good spots, putting a jab out, you know, then going for a hook, but not leaving himself open for a takedown. But I just see Curtis Blaydes is going to take him down. And I think Curtis Blaydes is going to do what he's done to a lot of fighters over the last couple of years and beat him up on the ground. And that moves him forward. When I say moves him forward now, obviously we've got a problem because Curtis Blaydes is quite high up, isn't he, in the rankings. I think he's fifth in the rankings at the moment. But like, again, you've got Garn, who's fighting the title, Miocic, who's not, it's not back yet, but is coming back next year. Everyone else is booked up. And then I looked at the rankings today because obviously they're going to get, if Curtis Blaydes wins this fight or Rosenstrike wins this fight, they're going to have to match someone up with who hasn't lost a fight multiply. And the only fighter who's not booked up at the moment, Stuart, which is going to be really bad when I say this, but not really bad, but it's going to be a hard one. The only fighter sitting below, because he's going to have to take a fight below, no one's available above him, is Tom Aspinall. Tom Aspinall. Only fighter with a four-fight win streak below him. You know, he's got that.
I know you were looking lower down for Tom Aspinall before he goes into that higher echelon, but why not? Why not put him in there? Why not? And it wouldn't surprise me, Chris. It wouldn't surprise me. And as you say, 4-0, and I think he's got all the credentials. I can see he needs to be cautious a little bit because it might derail him if he was to take a loss going up so soon. But the time frame would be perfect as long as everyone can stay healthy and fit.
Well, yeah, possibly. It's a tough fight for Tom Aspinall because this is like, when I said to you when we spoke about it, this has been thrown to the wolves because Curtis Blaydes is no joke. He's been in there, you know, with Ngannou. He's obviously going to be in there with Rosenstrike, but he's been there with Derek Lewis. He's been in there with all the, you know,
high caliber top five guys, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, he's been there with Overeem before. Obviously, he got Kurt. You know, this is the only sort of logic I can see. I'd rather Tom Aspinall versus Volkov after Volkov's fight, but Volkov could lose his fight. You know, you don't know where it goes. But this is the only fight I can see if Curtis Blaydes was to win this fight. This is the only one that makes more sense because there's no one above me can get because they're not. Just everyone else is booked or not ready to fight yet, unless they look maybe. Actually, I don't know because I can't see Stipe Miocic taking a fight against Curtis Blaydes when he comes back. He's going to want the winner, isn't he? John Jones isn't going to take Curtis Blaydes. He's going to want the winner, and they're the guys that are going to be above him. So Tom Aspinall, at this moment, to me, is the only logical.
And I hope it gets made. I really do. You know, let's see what happens. Have you got anything in the way of comments there, Chris? Before we head to break.
Yeah, Dan's back.
Dan Terror Sports Inc. Snoop Dogg said he wants to do his own boxing MMA show with weed being smoked and fans not on seats, but sofas with rap music going on during the fight. It's something different. And it wouldn't surprise me if it happened the way it's changed, the way the fighting world has changed, the way celebrities are in pro bouts, exhibition bouts, and you know, Snoop has been involved, hasn't he, with Triller as well. Stranger things have happened, and it wouldn't surprise me, Chris. What do you think was Snoop doing that and the way it was set up, if they did do it?
Get out.
It wouldn't surprise me, though.
I don't want to see it.
I know that, but I bet you believe that could actually happen. As mad as it is and the whole concept of it.
Well, the way combat sports is going at the moment with your Jake Pauls, your Logan Pauls, your KSIs and all that sort of in the mix. I won't be shocked by it, but I don't want to see it. Just, you know what I mean? Because he's going to bring back fighters that are retired, and I don't want to see fighters that are retired. We see it when they've come to boxing, the Tito's, Evander Holyfields. Don't want to see it. Just leave them alone. Dan's come back with Walter saying judo.
Right, judo. Right, okay. He would take down well, but not able to strike unless he slaps their chest. Walter. Right, okay. Okay, he's done judo.
I don't think slapping chests is going to go well in combat sports.
It does him well in pro wrestling. And then, you know, he's made the career out of it. And he's had some stellar matches with Dragunov and many of his Pete Dunne. But yeah, that's wrestling. That's for a different time. Chris, what a weekend we're going to have in the UFC, though, before we go to
massively,
break.
Massively.
Massive card. Like last week when we were previewing stuff, it was very quiet with the boxing and the MMA. Going into the next couple of months, it's chocker, which is great for us. But yeah, here is what powered4.tv have got on offer on demand. £7.99. Sign up today. Some fantastic stuff. And as it says there, sign up £7.99 a month. John and Jess are at WWE Today at the O2 in London. So there's going to be loads of media from that. Also, 18 shows between now and October, which will get loaded up on demand. So we've got Catch Pro Wrestling, the new promotion out of Manchester was set up last year, but because of COVID, obviously, they haven't been able to run anything. So yeah, Catch Pro are on there now, and Odyssey Pro Wrestling as well, which has commentary with our very own Simon Hill, who does Keep It Locked, and also Kurt Johansson, who has the Kurt Johansson Show. They're on commentary doing a great job for Odyssey. So yeah, sign up today, £7.99 a month. More promotions coming on. You can find us on there with Big Fight Weekly as well. So just keep an eye, plenty of content. John and Rich are doing a stellar job as always. And moving on to the boxing, huge, huge fight on Saturday evening, the last of the Matchroom events on Sky Sports. And then obviously they'll be fully transitioned to the zone. And Mr. Sauerland, Nisa Sauerland of Sauerland Promotions, big, you know, big boxing promotion there promoting. It's gone. Chris Eubank Jr., among others, and they're going to be on Sky Sports, so their show. Nisa Sauerland here. I think Joshua stops Usyk in 7-9. Chris, roll the VT, and we'll listen to what Sauerland had to say.
No problem.
Can't wait for Usyk against Joshua next week, or in 10
predictions.
Days. I think Joshua stops in 7-9. Mm-hmm. Right hand. I find that Usyk, he brings that left, he comes a bit square, which is weird. Normally, you know, the southpaw, you're a bit narrower for some reason, a bit more one-dimensional, but he kind of brings that left leg around a lot, and everyone compares him to Lomachenko, but Lomachenko is just, he's a super feather lightweight. You know, he makes those moves a lot easier than a guy who's now fighting 100, 105 kgs.
Yeah, yeah.
And he takes too many shots, and I think AJ, he's just going to walk onto that straight right. That's my feeling.
And then last of all...
I like Usyk as well. I think he's brilliant.
I think he's brilliant.
But I think the size and the power.
I think the longer that fight goes on, Usyk's got a chance of it going 12 rounds and it could go to a decision. Now, we know AJ's power. I'm not disputing that. AJ's heavy favourite, which is fine. Look, he's not Lomachenko. Look at the size.
No.
You know, and that's fine. But, you know, as you said earlier, Lomachenko's dad's been back training him. He's been back in the camp with him. And he's a fantastic fighter. Tony Bell, you said, probably the greatest cruiserweight ever. You know, we've seen a lot of cruiserweights. Evander Holyfield, fantastic cruiserweight. You know, Bell, you was obviously bigging Usyk up. But Usyk got better as that fight went on. I know it was at his natural weight. But I think the more them rounds go, I think if Joshua doesn't get him out early, Usyk will be all right, I think, at the weight. And we might see a 12-rounder. And, you know, he's only boxed Chaz Witherspoon in his pro heavyweight debut. And then Derek Chisora, that went the distance as well. You know, good test. You know, Chisora's tough. How do you feel, Chris? There's so many permutations. And, you know, a lot of people are going for Joshua, and rightly so. But I wouldn't write Usyk off. He's complete. He's a complete boxer. How do you feel? How do you feel with it on Saturday evening?
I think, you know what I mean, I've watched a lot on it today because obviously I just want to get people sort of perspective. And I mean, I was watching ex-fighters, trainers, and, you know, people like Tony Bell, who've been in the ring with Usyk. And, you know, I think a lot of people are sort of masking Usyk, really, and looking at Joshua because he's big, he's powerful. Usyk is really good. And, you know, I mean, if you watch Usyk in Cruiserweight, he's fainting, confused everybody. And he puts it out there, makes your mind work over time. And then people struggle. And then he catches you and he beats you. But it, I mean, it's his technical ability, his jabs. But like I say, the fake work he does is phenomenal. Because, like I say, you're making your opponent's mind work. So it's like, is he going to hit? Is he going to move? Is he going to move? And I think as well, he's been a smaller guy. And we both said about Joshua struggling with the smaller guy. I think he's going to test Joshua. I'm not saying he's going to beat Joshua, but I think this is going to be the hardest test Joshua's had for a very long time against an actual, you know, a gold medalist as well, a heavyweight in the Olympics. You know what I mean? He hasn't fought the same caliber of fighters as Joshua has, but he's been dominant in the division below. And, you know, very dominant in mm-hmm. the division below. I think, you know what I mean, this could go all 12 rounds, or Joshua might make a mistake and underestimate mm-hmm. Usyk like he underestimated Andy Ruiz.
I think he's got to get him out early. I don't agree with this 7-9 round. You know, and that's a boxing promoter. You know, he knows boxing. There's Mr. Sauerland. That's not in question. I think Joshua needs a stoppage sooner. He needs to do it in 3 or 4, maybe, because Usyk will get better as those rounds go on.
And he's a slow starter. He's a slow starter.
Bellew had loads of success earlier on. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like he wanted it from Bellew. He wanted to take Bellew's best to then, you know, outbox him. Bellew had a fantastic start, but that was at Cruiser. You know, I commend Usyk stepping up. You know, he could have stayed at Cruiser, defended all the belts more times again. He'd beaten everybody. Could he have waited for more people at Cruiser to come through? No, it was time. It was time to go. I can't do nothing but commend the guy.
No, you know, for having
the intestinal fortitude to go up to heavyweight.
That's a very wrestling word there, mate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you know what? At the end of the day, listen, he's beaten the best he can and what's offered at cruiserweight. So at that point, you know, like in any combat sports, you have to look somewhere else for that sort of the battle that pushes you, because, you know, certain fighters can stay in the division and dominate it over and over again. And this could be in MMA, this could be in boxing, this could be in Muay Thai, this could be in jiu-jitsu, karate, judo. It gets boring after a while when you're beating people that are not your level. But then you look above you or look below you, and there's people at your level. So, he's, you know, give him the cojones to go and test himself, you know, in the biggest division. You know, the world's most well-known division. You know, your Joshua's, your Wilder's, your Tyson's are there. You know what I mean? And obviously Dillian White's there as well. So there's fights there as well.
Boxing at heavyweight, it's marquee. As much as people say boxing's on the downward trend, in the heavyweight division's never been this hot for years. You're talking the last, you know, 25, 30 years. It's got to be, hasn't it, Chris? Don't mean it gets enough, doesn't get enough recognition. You know, this will draw, it'll still do quite a lot of buy rates, I think. You know, everyone wanted him against Fury next, didn't they? And here he is, Ramel. Technically, Usyk can work as a heavyweight. Like, I give this a 50-50. I'm thinking the same as you. I've got to be honest. A lot of people are saying Joshua's going to blow him out. But the longer that bout goes on, I keep harping on about it. Usyk's got a shout. He's resilient. He's tough. You know, he's had those two fights coming into this. You know, maybe it was a bit soon him going in for a title bout, but it's all, you know, the time frame because of Fury and Joshua not happening when it was meant to. He's in a position now. And I can't wait for it. Tottenham Hotspur Stadium as well, a fantastic stadium. There's going to be 60,000+ in attendance. It draws. They're still drawing. You know, I think boxing does get a bad rap. And you know, we're going to see, moving on, Chris, I think Fury versus Wilder 3, October the 9th. So that's coming up 2 weeks later. And Nisa Sauerland's prediction. We'll go to John Fury and Frank Warren. Yeah. Footage courtesy of BT Sport. We thank BT Sport.
Thank you.
John, if I can. Yeah. It's the third fight coming up. Is it a relief or is it a nuisance?
Bit of both, really, you know what I'm saying? But it's a fair fight. Both men's been inactive, you know. What I can see, I can't see, really, when we've been promised AJ and we've got this. He's already beat him twice. Last time he done it convincingly. You know, but he always are problems posed by heavyweights like Deontay Wilder with his power. But, you know, he's just another bump in the road. And Tyson will smooth him out the right way this time. He'll retire him this time, Tyson will.
Just another bump in the road, Frank. Is it just another bump in the road?
Look, anything can happen in heavyweight boxing. You know, they're, especially when you've got, you think about someone like Wilder, he's the hardest, statistically, the hardest punching heavyweight in the last 30, 40 years. But I just think that Tyson has got his number. I hope so. He's got his number, and I think he can't afford to be complacent, and I'm sure he won't be. But, you know, Tyson at his best is the best heavyweight in the world. He's the one that they've all got to beat, and I think Tyson's got very much got the beast in the Deontay Wilder.
Mentally, more than physically, as well.
Yeah,
it's more mental. Wilder, how can Wilder, you know, go get back in there, and Tyson's taking the best shots. I know we've spoken about this before. You know, he's the best heavyweight. He's the best heavyweight. You know, in terms of what he can do. You know, collectively, Joshua for power, no question. You know, fantastic, but he's so elusive. But it's the mental game, Chris. First and foremost, for Wilder.
Can I ask you a question?
You can.
Do you think that Joshua's got a better resume than Fury? And who they fought?
I've got to be fair. In more recent times, I would say yes, but Fury then eclipsed him by going in there with Wilder. But if you look, you know, if you look at who, you know, I'm not discrediting Tom Schwartz. You know, he had to fight him. I mean, he got Kurt Bardley in that fight.
Yeah.
Otto Valent, who Dillian White's going to be fighting soon as well. You know, they're a level below elite. No disrespect to lads. You know, they carry power as well. But yet, to a lesser extent, I think Fury hasn't fought the guys that AJ's fought. But
okay, then hold on.
Wilder was the bigger fight on its own, and you know, Joshua didn't fight him, so I've got to get it's a hard one.
Does Dillian White have a better resume than Tyson Fury?
He's been in there with everyone, and he avenged the loss to Povetkin. You know,
yeah, he did. That
could have gone one way or the other. Again, mental, and he got back in there and he stopped him after being stopped himself. You know, the previous summer, you know. He's been in there with Chisora twice. Again, you know, game fighter, Chisora, it's always a battle. He's fought Joseph Parker. You know, they're not the creme de la creme, you know, when you put Fury and Joshua in there, but they were all guys in with a shout, weren't they, of getting, you know, and they've all had title fights as well. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris, I do take it collective. As a collective, I think White and Joshua have fought the better people, but then he eclipses him with those two fights against Wilder. Because he was the most feared puncher in heavyweight boxing. I've got to look at it from both sides of the coin there. Collectively, Fury and White trumping opponents and level of opponents.
I bring this to you because I was watching a video, Box Nation UK on YouTube, and the shout out for them. They interviewed Eddie Hearn, and they asked him this question. And that was his answers, Joshua and White have a better resume than Tyson Fury. And I'm a bit like, yes, okay, granted they have, again, as you say, they fought the best, but you can only fight what's in front of you. You can only fight what you're given. And, you know, Tyson Fury was out. Eddie Hearn says, the biggest fights in Tyson Fury's career were Klitschko and Wilder, which, okay, fair enough, you can...
I forgot Klitschko as well. That was incredible. He did that
in Germany, though. You didn't see Joshua go and fight him in Germany.
No.
And he beat him by points as well, which,
hardened
it when you're doing it in boxing.
So, in fairness, I forgot about Klitschko in 2015. You know, it was that. What a night that was. I think, should we go to Nisa Sauerland's prediction via the footage from Seconds Out Boxing, who do fantastic job with their content. I love Seconds Out and their stuff. So, yeah, courtesy of Seconds Out Boxing. Here we go. Nisa Sauerland's prediction for Fury Wilder 3 on October the 9th.
I like Usyk as well. I think he's brilliant. But I think the size and the power.
Last of all,
Fury Wilder, quick prediction.
I think Tyson, you know, you can't go against Tyson. I think he's you know, he's an inspiration, what he's done, what he's dealt with in life, and you know, he's a real life Rocky story, and I would never bet against Tyson Fury.
I know, and he's had that back and forth with Dillian White as well, which would lead to another interesting fight. We kind of got the impression about a year ago that he wouldn't be fighting for too much longer. He said sometimes, I think his dad said he should retire after a couple of fights now, and obviously he has retired before. Yeah. But that Dillian White fight is one that would it would do big numbers.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, imagine fight week for that.
Great. They both
extra security.
Extra security indeed. Listen, thanks for being.
Fantastic, well put as well. I bet he wished he added those guys on his promotion. I know he's very good friends with Frank Warren and Eddie anyway. You know, they all get on really well. But yeah, he's right. It's perfectly poised, that division. And why not have Dillian White and Fury, and then we can get these two fights with AJ booked.
Where would you say now? Like, everything goes to plan now, yeah. Everything goes to plan. So let's, and I don't want to mark off Usyk, because I like Usyk. I think he's technically one of the best boxers that have come through the last couple of years. Ukraine just seem to keep churning them out. You know, the Klitschko's, Usyk, you know, they churn out technically good boxers. But let's just say, for argument's sake now, Joshua beats Usyk. Not saying how, but he just beats him. Fury obviously beats Wilder. White then beats, is it Aro, who he's fighting next? Right, so that's three
Otto,
of them there.
Otto Ballin, who
that's three of them there. So do you put Fury in White before Christmas, or do you do White Fury in the new year?
I am still skeptical. You know, as much as he wants to have four fights in a year, Fury, I think it's a lot. I think it's a lot at the elite level. I think it's, but He wants to set the tone, doesn't he, Fury? He wants to do stuff that hasn't been done. And, you know, it was all that inactivity with COVID last year. And all the I can understand it, but I think it's a lot in any combat sport. I think, you know, when you're at the top level, you're a champion. I think it's very ambitious on his end, but who am I to judge? Because he's you know, proved the doubt is wrong time and time again as Fury. I think it's perfect because White's fighting next month. It's perfect.
All right, here's a prediction then. If Fury's to fight Dillian White, who wins?
I think Fury. I've got to go Fury, but White, we've seen him knock people out, and I think he's vastly underrated.
His
knockout power, I don't think he gets the praise. What the WBC have been doing all this time, he's been mandatory for 5-6 years. Mm. And it's only now that it's happening that he's getting a title fight. I think, you know, he's been ignored to a certain extent. I think, you know, Eddie Hearn, they've been pushing for him. He deserves a shot. He's only lost to Joshua and Povetkin. You know, he was on an absolute tear. You know, before he lost to Povetkin, he avenged it. Povetkin's not retired.
That was a freak cup of cut, though. You got to admit that. It was placed perfectly, but it was a freak of a knockout because Dillian White was controlling that fight, and then he got caught. Because, you know, as they always say, in all combat sports, it's the ones you don't see, it's the ones that catch you. And obviously, that uppercut from Povetkin obviously cleaned Dillian White out. My problem is like, you know, obviously, I'm the MMA guy, you're the boxing guy. It's infuriating for you. It must be, because you see me, or you obviously you're an MMA fan as well, but you see all these fights stacked in UFC. But fights that make sense, not always, but 9 times out of 10 they are. And in boxing, you don't get that. You don't get nothing like that. You have to wait. And there's all those sort of negotiations. Does it not frustrate you where you see UFC
of course
it does. All these fights?
Imagine it was all under one umbrella like the UFC, but there's all these boxing boards, and you're talking hundreds of years now, aren't you? Right?
Yeah.
And there's just so much red tape to get past. And imagine it was just all one collectively. There should just be one belt. There should just be one belt. I said it should be streamlined. It's never going to happen. but it had caused like less issues. So yeah, Karras is here by the door. That was all. I was thought someone was robbing the house.
Just give him a good wave. Take what you want.
Imagine it was all under one umbrella. It was streamlined boxing. The fights would be made a lot easier. It's just there's too many promoters as well. But you're talking like years and years and years of this, and it's not going to change, you know. But all they can do is unify, you know, the division by beating one another, can't they? And it's gonna, you know, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen
Yeah, but it must be frustrating, you know what I mean? For you as a boxing fan, you know, you're a massive boxing fan. You know I mean, I'm learning as I go along. Obviously, I know my fighters, but I'm learning as I go along since we started Big Fight Weekly. But, you know, in watching MMA is, you know that, you know, if A beats B, then C's got the next title shot. Do you know what I mean?
And also what they've done well, you know, the UFC, they monitor people in Cage Warriors on a UK basis, don't they?
Well, all over the shop.
They're looking. I mean, yeah, in terms of UK, though, Cage Warriors, look at Paddy. You know, it's took a bit of time. He's there now, isn't he? Then, you know, well, I'm trying to think now, Bellator, nine times out of ten, the people go down to Bellator, don't they? Or he'll have a look and get some in. He's always looking. They're always looking outside their own. If they see a fighter's got potential, they'll do it, which is fantastic.
But Saul Rogers fought on the weekend. Phil Davis versus Yoel Romero.
You need to speak about that, actually.
Yoel Romero was weirdly not good enough. You know, from the guy I saw in the UFC, yes, okay, granted he's in his 40s, but Yoel Romero in his 40s looks like an absolute action hero, doesn't he? Like a figure. Yeah. Still looks absolutely fantastic, you know.
Carved out of onyx, Chris, I would say.
Yes.
There we go.
But he's like granite. He's like granite, isn't he? But Phil Davis, again, Phil Davis, who's been out the UFC, been in Bellator, been a champion, lost the title, you know, fought all mate Liam McGeary, broke his jaw. But he still puts on a good show and he still is, you know, still very good. And Yoel Romero is no joke, but Phil Davis made him look ordinary. I don't know what it was. It was because you couldn't say it was, you know, coming back for a first time or like he just looked tired, Yoel Romero, just not the same. Not the same. The guy that, you know, was very unorthodox with his striking, didn't say any of that. Just Phil Davis was pressure. Saul Rogers fought on the weekend with Martin Stapleton, who was there as his coach. He got, you know, really tough fight, but he won the split. I think it was a split or a unanimous decision. If Rom's still in the comments, Rom will be able to back me up and say something, what the score was for that one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in Bellator, you still got your Venom pages. You still got...
Which we've got on October the 1st, Chris, from London, which has been getting across the radio stations I listen to, Kerrang and all that, a lot of promotion. Gareth A. Davis doing the narration for the advert. So, yeah, we've got him and Douglas Lima again.
Well, number two, isn't it? Don't forget number two.
Yeah, man. So Bellator are putting together some good cards as well, man. You know, to be fair to them, I know they looked at as the second place in town, like, but...
No, but you see, the thing is like you say second place. When you look at wrestling, you look at, you know, back in the day now, WWE, WCW, everyone had some good fights on there. Not everyone has the best of the best. Bellator have some really good fighters. UFC have a lot of the good fighters. Do you know what I mean? It's just one of them. Here we go.
It's a case of which Yoel shows up. But fair play to Phil Davis, you know.
Yeah, but listen, Phil Davis is a staple. Phil Davis has fought the best of the best. Phil Davis is, you know, hasn't had that prolonged time off where Yoel Romero has. You know, Yoel Romero was, Anthony Johnson, wasn't he? Got injured and all that sort of mishap happened. He's been out for, 6 months? So it's one of them. But yeah, we have, Bellator still got a good stuff on. We've got Dimitri Johnson fighting at 1FC.
It's a clash of styles, isn't it? The way they're coining that bout.
Five rounds. It's four rounds, and it's kickboxing, MMA, and you're facing one of the best kickboxers that Thailand have to offer. Rom, I know you're in the comments. Throw a comment in, because you know. But the thing is, Dimitri Johnson's put himself in that sort of situation where he's going to have to make these MMA rounds count. Otherwise, it's going to be a very, very long night for Demetrius Johnson at ONE FC.
Hey, more power to him testing himself though as well. You know, that takes, you know, to get in. There you go. Agreed on, Chris. You all looked old that day. Yeah, I think it's time, you know, especially maybe at the top end level. He's maybe he'll go back to his wrestling.
But listen, he's very good at wrestling, collegiate wrestling, one of the best in the world.
He could still probably beat 99% of the people.
Oh, yeah.
Even
yeah,
at his
yeah.
age, in his, yes. you know, was it Greco-Roman?
Yeah.
Was he Greco? Yeah. Yeah. He was a standout, as you say. And even at his age, it'd be interesting to see, wouldn't it?
Just think going forward now, this will be our last little bit here. Going forward, the fights that we have, you know, leading into this weekend, leading into October, November, are absolutely fantastic cards. You know, for boxing and MMA as a whole, there's so much excitement, you know, of the certain fights that we've got on offer for the next 2 months. And this is before UFC put out, you know, the card for Dustin Poirier versus Charles Oliveira in December. But there's so many fights, you know, coming forward now, and it's thick and fast. It's excitable, Stuart. And I can't wait for us in the next couple of months to sort of break down all these big fights that are coming.
Absolutely. So, yeah, ahead of the weekend, we've got UFC 266. Sorry, back to Ramel. Yes, I can't see it like DJ versus Rod Tang as Van versus Crocott match. Only KOs or sub. When it's time.
When it's time over, it could be a draw, is what you're saying.
All right, okay. I commend Demetrius. You know, he's gone there.
Yeah. See, Rod Tang is one of the best in the world when it comes to kickboxing. If it's a kickboxing fight against someone like that, you know, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard for someone who's an MMA fighter if it's just plain and simple that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just the Tyron Woodley in boxing. When you simplify it for an MMA fighter, it might be simple for you, but for them, it's not. Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah, ahead of the weekend, as we say, huge two title fights at UFC 266, which is going to be amazing. Yeah, and also the boxing at the undercard for 266 as well, Chris.
Yeah, really good.
Blades and Rosenstrike. And then Nick Diaz and Robbie Lawler, two rolling back the years after their first fight 17 years ago. And also Usyk versus Joshua, or the other way around, for all the marbles, bar the WBC title that Fury has got. So, yeah, they reckon the ring walks are about 10, but I think it'd be later than that.
About 11, you'd say, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I'd say about half 10, 11. But everyone, you know, make sure you tuned in early. Get sat down, have a few drinks. And, we look forward to it. It's what it's all about in combat sports this weekend. Mm-hmm. Fantastic showcase. And as Chris said, so much coming up in the next couple of months. It's a treasure trove for the fight fans, new and
exciting.
Old.
Exciting. Yeah, definitely.
Got anything else there, Chris?
We all good, mate. That's it now, my friend.
Where can the viewers find you, Chris, before we go?
They can find me on Twitter at Van Hume. They can find me on Instagram at VanHume86. And before I run away, they can find us on the bottom of your screen.
Go. Lovely, lovely. There you go. In the graphic there, that's where you can find us on the Facebook page as well. And yeah, I've been Stuart Palmer. And Stu's has some podcasts on the back burner at the moment. Some stuff coming up. Possibly best of episodes coming up, leading up to the 100th episode. But yeah, just a bit of time off. I've been enjoying doing Big Fight Weekly solely with Chris. So yeah, it's been fantastic. Thank you to Evade Escape for the intro and outro music. As always, a lot of good stuff to say about them. I know they're going to be touring soon and they've got some new music on the way. Thank you to John and Rich, the boss men of Powerful.tv, for giving us the platform. As I say, John is with Jess today with WWE doing the media for Sports Keda, their partnership with Sports Keda. So yeah, look forward to seeing all the stuff, the videos from that, speaking to the talent in WWE. But yeah, we have been Powered4.tv Big Fight Weekly episode 30, and we'll see you next Tuesday for episode 31, and hopefully we'll be in podcast form. So if you like to have it in audio form, we'll be on all the big podcast platforms, hopefully by next week. I'm hoping, Chris.
Good stuff, I think.
Absolutely.
That'll help us.
So thank you very much for all your comments as well. Me and Chris appreciate everything. And,
yeah, 100%.
We'll see you next Tuesday for episode 31. Bye-bye.
See you next Tuesday.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.